this edition of the Fumble Rooski podcast, we'll go over some fantasy sleepers for the tight end position and the quarterback position. Along with that, some breaking news. We'll get to that in a moment. You're listening to the Fumble Rooski podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Good evening, and you're listening to the Fumble Rooski podcast by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. Chris Cost is alongside me, Adam Wright, as I'm back and better than ever. Bear with me, I do have a cold. As we do have some breaking news right off the jump, J.J. McCarthy tearing his meniscus. This news literally just breaking as we go live about 15 minutes ago. And McCarthy, I mean, he probably would have been the starter. He would have been battling it out with Sam Darnold. It could have been one of those cases where Sam Darnold takes the reins for a little bit, and then they slowly bring McCarthy into the rotation. But now it seems that McCarthy's probably going to be out for a very lengthy amount of time. For all we know, it could be the rest of the season. So we probably won't see McCarthy until next season in terms of making that starting jump.
Yeah, it's looking like one of those things where it was definitely looking like, I mean, it's a meniscus isn't as bad as a torn ACL, obviously. So there is a chance that he could return. But when he returns, the Vikings, will they really be in playoff contention by then? I'm not quite sure about that. They have a good roster around him, but the quarterback runs the show. And if it's Sam Darnold over there, then you're kind of screwing yourself over there. I mean, this was kind of meant to be a bridge year anyways. But what makes it upsetting is that according to reports, J.J. McCarthy was running ahead of schedule. So maybe he would have taken the reins a lot earlier, maybe 3-4 weeks into the season. Now, they have no choice but to wait at least a few months, and that's if he ends up returning in time for before the season ends. And at that point, yeah, sure. Start him a couple games, look at see how the offensive line is performing. Maybe if they're playing meaningful games, but it's good to get him some reps. But you're looking at this thing and I mean, it's at least before he was getting practice reps, right? During practice, in between games from week to week. Now he doesn't really get that much, and there's really not much more to it, right? It's more kind of, you know, you're waiting for him to recover and then you continue his development. So this is a tough blow, but I don't think it's as tough as people think.
Yeah, and I mean, the biggest question really is going to be, as you mentioned, when he does come back. If he does come back and 100% latter part of the year, at that point, you might as well just stick with Darnold or whoever you end up having at quarterback at that point of the season. Because even after J.J. McCarthy gets back to 100%, you also got to make sure he's ready to go to actually or back to where he was at this point of training camp, you know. And, you know, it kind of took everyone by surprise as well with this meniscus tear. Granted, he did miss the last 3 practices that the Vikings had. So there was a little bit of concern. And then all of a sudden, this just popped up out of nowhere. So obviously a big blow for the Vikings, but we'll see how it ends up shaping out. If anything, like we said, we probably won't see J.J. McCarthy until next season, which won't be the biggest deal in the world in terms of if you're in Minnesota. The other breaking news from yesterday, Hassan Reddick requesting a trade from the Jets. We'll touch on this briefly because it's just the whole situation itself is ridiculous. The Jets knowingly making this trade for Hassan Reddick from the Philadelphia Eagles. Reddick, one of the biggest pieces in their Super Bowl run a couple years ago where they lost to the Chiefs. The Jets knowingly trading for him when he's in a contract year and then not paying the guy at the same time. It's, you know, you have to pay him and now you're just shooting yourself in the foot And this is a guy that already wasn't happy with what was going on in Philadelphia. It's a guy that's still not happy, and now he's in a different spot and has barely been around for practice. He's missed 22 straight days of training camp. And it's gone to the point where the Jets released a statement from their GM about how they're not going to trade him and they're going to keep fining him for every single practice that he's going to miss. All in all, it's just a train wreck over there. And drama in New York just seems to not leave at this rate, especially for the Jets. Never mind the Giants. It's just all with the Jets.
Yeah. Yeah. And the way you look at it, I think CJ said this best. I'm going to credit our co-host CJ, who wasn't able to make it today, for this one take. And I just think it was an incredible statement about it. For the Jets, what they did to trade for a player that was going through contract troubles with his other team and then refusing to pay him and then being surprised he requests a trade is like buying a rundown car and then freaking out when you realize it's and acting surprised when you realize its engine fails, right? Like, you saw it coming. You knew the issues before you traded the player. You traded for him. You refused to solve them, and then you're like, wait, you're requesting to leave the team? Wait, why? We know damn well why. You traded for him, and the Eagles, a team that was in playoff contention, they've been in Super Bowl contention the past 2 years, and they couldn't hold on to him. You've been struggling to even make the playoffs, and you're wondering, with the contract on top of it, why he doesn't want to stay there right now. Yes, you just acquired him, but you didn't solve the issues that the Eagles couldn't solve. So why are you surprised by this?
The surprising thing to me is how the Jets are so Super Bowl or bust right now, that you would think that, you know, you brought in Aaron Rodgers as a point to make that it's Super Bowl or bust. You built your team around Aaron Rodgers to make it. You're either going to the Super Bowl or it's a failure. And now you bring in a really highly touted linebacker in Hassan Reddick. You're not willing to pay the guy. As an organization, it's just confusing to look at based off of that alone.
Yeah. But,
I mean
It's just a bad situation. In the, you can see the Jets over the last 2 years, you can kind of see where the direction they're going in. They've drafted some good talent, but as far as the pieces that they've been trying to bring in to complete the rebuild, they've made some kind of dicey decisions. First of all, you have Aaron Rodgers, you bring in, as great of a quarterback as he is, top five talent all time, arguably. He had his issues with the Packers, and you guys were willing to bend over backwards to bring him in and ignore all of the red flags. Now we'll see if that turns into an issue. The injuries haven't been too much of a problem for him. That's, you know, a torn Achilles sucks, and like, I hope Aaron Rodgers comes back and he comes back healthy. Still, there's red flags there. Now you bring in Mike Williams. He's had issues with his health. You've brought in that tackle from the Cowboys, whose name escapes me. He's had issues with his health. He hasn't played more than 12 games in the last 5 years. So you can kind of see with this Hassan Reddick situation, they are getting a little desperate with getting themselves into championship contention. And I think looking at the Broncos as well, who did the same thing a couple of years ago when they acquired Russell Wilson. You're seeing a lot of teams who are trying to copy that mold that the Buccaneers and the Rams kind of followed, where they kind of threw a team together last second, and then they ended up winning a Super Bowl. In 2020, it was the Buccaneers. 2021, it was the Rams. They were able to do that, and they just threw a bunch of players together. Yes, they had a core of players that worked out, but Matthew Stafford completed the rebuild. Tom Brady completed the rebuild. And then they brought in some veterans who were attracted to those star quarterbacks. They're hoping to do the same thing here with the Jets. And you can clearly see it's very hit or miss. And our league's history shows that is very, very hit or miss. So it could work out, but nobody remembers Brett Favre's career with the Jets. But they do remember his career with the Vikings.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how the whole Hassan Reddick thing turns out, if the Jets will actually pay him or not, or if he just keeps holding out. And we'll see if we even see Hassan Reddick the entirety of this season. But for now, it remains a mystery until week one. For that, we'll step aside for a quick break. When we come back, we'll have our fantasy sleepers for the tight end and quarterback position.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
You're listening to the Fumble Rooski Podcast, sponsored by Power 88 Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. Chris Kostich, Adam Wright. Going to our fantasy sleepers first with the tight ends. Adam, I'll let you take the reins on this one. What do you got for us?
All right. So for my first one, so this guy was a fantasy bust last year who was supposed to be a lot better than he was. He's the tight end for the Tennessee Titans. His name is Chigozie Okonkwo. And he had an okay season, 54 receptions, 528 yards. As far as tight ends go, that is decent. The problem is it's not nearly as good as he was supposed to be. However, he is one of the few returners as far as pass catchers go. DeAndre Hopkins is still there, but how long is he going to produce how he has throughout his career? On top of that, there's a lot of question marks. And with all these question marks for their quarterback, Will Levis, who is Levis going to really lean on with all this uncertainty? It's Okonkwo. So that's a player that, with a good offensive line, one of the most improved offensive lines in the league, he'll have time to throw, but with all of these question marks, he's going to be the guy who you lean on. So I think a tight end like that can be a young quarterback's best friend. So I think Okonkwo is a guy who you want to look at.
I was waiting for you to keep going on that. If you have any other guys.
I have a second one. I have a second one, but I was going to wait for you to bring your.
No, I was going to let you go with yours.
All right. I'll get my next one, but my next one is actually Zach Ertz. The issue with Zach Ertz has been health. Health has been an issue with him. But in the few times that he has been healthy, he's been pretty good. And everyone is forgetting about his production with the Cardinals, which was actually pretty decent. He had some good seasons there. Everyone thinks, well, the Eagles is when he really was his true self. That's true. But it doesn't mean he was bad with the Cardinals. And now that the tight end position has fallen apart, Logan Thomas is now gone. You have one tight end, and it's Zach Ertz. The fact they were able to bring him in, they were willing to cut Logan Thomas, the younger guy, and bring in Zach Ertz, tells me they still have faith in that he is a lot more healthy than we all think. And again, you have a young quarterback and a lot of uncertainty. It's uncertainty because the quarterback is new, but he has not worked with Jahan Dotson and Terry McLaurin. So Zach Ertz is that veteran of the group. I think Ertz has an incredible bounce back season.
All right. I'll give you one right off the bat. I'm going to go with Cade Otton from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, he's kind of a similar situation with Okonkwo, except 48 receptions, 479 yards, 4 touchdowns. And the thing with Ahn, obviously, this is a guy that's going to be fighting for targets from guys like Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Rashad White out of the backfield. But, you know, the thing with me, and this takes me to the wild card game against the Eagles, this, he can be a very reliable target. He will have a drop here and there. But I think with the Buccaneers and how they struggle with the run game, and they're looking to improve on it this year, but with them struggling so much in the run game from especially last year, I think that Cade Otten can be a guy that will be much more reliable or much more looked upon to make big plays down the stretch for this upcoming season. So I'm going to give the nod to Cade Otten for my first one. My second one, you could call it a sleeper. You could call it not a sleeper. I'm going to go with Dallas Goedert. And the only reason why I throw Dallas Goedert, I mean, look, Dallas Goddard's another guy that is going to be fighting for targets this season. So, obviously, another guy that's going to be coming off a little bit of an injury as well, but nothing crazy. He was able to come back for the latter part of the season of last year. But Dallas Goedert is probably one of your most reliable tight ends in the NFL. And the problem is that he doesn't see as much action as guys like A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith. And now you add in Saquon Barkley to the mix. So who knows? Maybe we see a Dallas Goedert 1,000-yard season. Maybe we only see him for 800 yards. But I could see this being a big season for Dallas Goedert, especially if you're going to be focusing so much on these other three guys.
Yeah, I think if both of them are covered, that's a guy who Jalen Hurts will go to, and he's been a reliable target over the years. I just don't know if he's going to end up being a sleeper. You know what I mean? Because
yeah, no, that's the thing. You could
tight ends for a few years.
You could. That's what I mean, is that you could consider him not as a sleeper. You could also consider him as one of the top 10 guys, but in my opinion, this is a guy that's mainly under the radar for the most part. He's kind of up there. He's kind of up there where you would consider him kind of on the radar, but not on the radar. He's more of one of those good tight ends that you sometimes forget about because of all these really good other tight ends in the league. You're like, oh, Dallas Goedert. Look at that.
I think it'll work out. I definitely think it'll work out. They have a good pass catching core over there. And I think I've mentioned it before, but this Eagles team as a whole, they kind of have a chip on their shoulder. Everyone is starting to sort of dismiss them. Although they low key did get a little better in some ways. I think you have better leadership on that defensive front. As far as their coaching goes, and you also look at their secondary, it got significantly better and younger. So that's a team that they have Saquon Barkley. Their offensive line got a little, I would say, worse, but still a good offensive line. As far as things to play for. I mean, that team has a chip on their shoulder, and I feel like they're going to have a much better season than everybody suggests. I think the Eagles are going to be division champions. But you know, we'll see. I think Dallas Goedert will be pretty good.
Yeah. That's the long and the short of it right there. I think that he'll put up better numbers than what he did last year. He had 59 catches on 592 yards receiving, and wasn't that big of a red zone threat. Only 3 touchdowns last year. And mind you, this is also due to him missing some weeks with a broken forearm. But I think that I think that Dallas Goedert can be a good red zone threat and will have a big improvement on this next season. Do you have a third?
I do not.
I do not as well, honestly. That's fine with me. We'll move on to the fantasy sleepers for quarterbacks. Adam, who are your two?
So my first one, so it's easy to go with the obvious answer in Caleb Williams. But you know what? I'm going to go Spencer Rattler. I think this was a late round pick. He's going to end up sitting behind Derek Carr. But I honestly liked his play with the Saints. He is a player. Let's not forget, a couple of years ago in college, he was one of those players who was supposed to be one of the top quarterbacks, if not the top quarterback taken in the NFL draft back in 2020. I believe it was 2022. And he fell off so much that everyone dismissed him. And we're now at a point where, I mean, the quarterback is the biggest piece on the field, but that doesn't mean he's the end-all be-all. So when you look at Spencer Rattler, he was on a bad team, and he started doing a little better. So look at his play during preseason. I think this is a guy who could potentially take the reins from Derek Carr and eventually play a lot better. I mean, the bar is set pretty low by Derek Carr, but if you look at all of the targets that they have for the Saints, and the abilities, the passing and rushing abilities that Rattler has to offer, now there's a player who could potentially do some good things.
Yeah, Spencer Rattler's a weird one for me. I don't know. It's, I guess, like him. His time over at South Carolina and Oklahoma, it just didn't seem that great to me, in my opinion. Him being over on the Saints, like, seems like a pretty solid idea in general. And maybe there is a time where he ends up beating out Derek Carr with the problem for the quarterback spot. But the thing with me is that would Spencer Rattler do better than Derek Carr at that point? But I mean, we'll only find out through preseason stuff that he gets. But yeah, Spencer Rattler's always been weird for me. I've never been that fond of him. Maybe it's the attitude.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. But I mean, as you pointed out, he wasn't on a great South Carolina team last year that had a lot of offensive line issues. So, I mean, you got the experience of playing a lot of great SEC defenses that are now in the NFL and dealing with the bad O-line over at SC. So who knows?
Yeah.
What do you got for
my
your
next
second
one?
Sorry.
Yeah. So my second pick is Justin Fields. Now, Justin Fields, through a real life perspective on the field, don't get it twisted. This kid probably, his days in the NFL are probably limited, at least as a starting quarterback. However, in the short term, looking at his rushing ability and he has a very limited passing ability, but he has some good pieces in that to throw to. This is a guy who could put up some solid fantasy stats. And before last year, playing for a Bears team that had no targets whatsoever, a bad offensive line, just his rushing ability alone gave him some of the best fantasy value we have seen in years from a quarterback of his caliber, in the worst way possible. This guy, I don't believe belongs in a starting role, and we're going to see that eventually. But not without him putting up some good fantasy football stats. He's going to be that type of quarterback who you fill in. He's going to end up being a quarterback streamer for a few weeks. And he could find his way on a fantasy roster where he'll be starting in and out. He'll be platooning with somebody else. But I think if Justin Fields earns the starting role over Russell Wilson, which I guess from reports in camp, there's a very strong possibility, I think this guy offers some high upside value in the later rounds. In fact, he probably will not end up being drafted. But if you end up without a good starting quarterback after your draft, this is one of those positions where you can stream week to week. And Justin Fields is going to be one of those guys you could plug in. So be on the lookout for this guy.
I like it. I like it. So for my two, could be head scratchers, could be not. I'm going to go Geno Smith with my first one for my first fantasy sleeper. And look, he's got the targets around him, right? And for stats last year, ended up having 3,624 yards, 20 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. He's not one that's going to stuff the stat sheet, but he's good to get you that 15 to 20 points that you'll need. And Geno Smith is probably going to be more of that bench role. And if for some reason your starting quarterback in fantasy isn't doing well, just throw in Geno Smith for just 1 week, or if you need a quick bye week sub, then that's a good guy to have, in my opinion. And on top of that, he's got targets around him too. Still got Tyler Lockett, Jackson Smith Njigba, and DK Metcalf. He's got targets around him, and he's got a good run game in Kenneth Walker behind him and Zach Charbonneau. Zach Charbonneau, right? Yeah. So I think that Geno Smith, in seeing how he's played in the last year or two, he's done very well for himself. So I think this is going to be a year where he continues to improve. Maybe this is probably going to be one of those years where it's going to be similar numbers to last year, but this could still be a year that, hey, maybe he creeps a little bit closer to that 4,000 because he did miss two games. And if he doesn't miss those two games, he's a 4,000-yard passer.
Yeah, I like Geno Smith. Geno Smith is he's another guy who could probably be a streamer, maybe a little better than that. Maybe he could be a backup quarterback somewhere. But it also depends on how many teams are in the league as well, you know. He's going to probably end up being the starter. It's just everything about the Seahawks I really like. And I even kind of like Geno Smith as a starting quarterback. The problem is, the only thing that's holding them back from Super Bowl contention is their quarterback's situation. And I know the Seahawks fans are going to hate that because they love Geno Smith. And there's, well, it's not his fault. It's the coaching. It's everything else. Yeah, sure. They missed the playoffs because of coaching, but were they not Super Bowl contention because of coaching? Because I'm pretty sure that's Geno Smith. I mean, it's the quarterback production was good, but not great. You need great production out of your quarterback in order to win yourself a Super Bowl. And if it's not great, then it better be great by the time you get to the postseason, right? Eli Manning wasn't there, and neither was Joe Flacco, but at least he was able to elevate his play when it mattered most. Geno Smith doesn't do that. He's a good quarterback. He's a solid one. He's a nice bridge quarterback who I would have loved to be in New England this year. But why do you think they brought in Sam Howell? Because it's still an open, it's an open position right now. He may end up being the starter. He's going to probably be favored to be, but that doesn't mean they wouldn't be bringing in Sam Howell if they thought that this kid was anything special, because he's not. He's a solid quarterback. I like him. He's not winning you a Super Bowl. And he's not winning you a fantasy championship either. So
he won't, but like I said, I've had Geno Smith as a backup quarterback for myself at least last year for one or two leagues. And the point goes, if your quarterback is out for a week, he's a good quarterback to sub in. And he'll get, like I said, he'll get you that 15 to 20 points that you'll need to make it through that week. And hey, who says he doesn't have a big game? He does have big game stuff to throw out there. But second quarterback that I'll throw out there as a sleeper is Will Levis. Now, for Will Levis, like, there's a lot of question marks around him and whatnot. Like, one of the biggest ones that we've seen is the difference between how he's going to throw on the outside and the inside, where he's going to actually throw his bullet passes, when he's going to throw a little bit more touch on it. That's been the biggest one for him. And a lot of people aren't really talking about how Will Levis now has some pretty solid weapons around him. Granted, bit of an older wide receiver room. You know, he's got Calvin Ridley, DeAndre Hopkins, Tyler Boyd now. And now you got you still have Okonkwo as your tight end. So, and now you add Tony Pollard. So the run game is not going to be as strong with Tony Pollard now that you don't have Derrick Henry for this season. So I expect the Titans to go a little bit more pass heavy for this upcoming season, especially with now you got to improve. Now Will Levis is going to improve from last season. Now he's got more targets to rely on for this season. So I expect a much bigger year from Will Levis. Granted, he did sub in halfway through last season and played half the regular season games. But now that he's going to have a full 17 in front of him, I expect Will Levis to kind of slip under everyone's radar, get himself to that 4K. Maybe 25 tutties, 9 interceptions.
That'd be a nice season for him, especially a second-year player who was a second-round pick, and he didn't really – I mean, there's a reason he was projected to go, what, third, fourth overall? Actually, some people had him going second to the Texans. I'm glad the Texans weren't that stupid. Was
wild. Like, Will Levis
should not have that far.
Will Levis should not have been in the top five talks, in my opinion.
He shouldn't have.
No, he shouldn't have. He shouldn't have been in the top five talks to begin with. It was just one of those like really big hyped up draft combines and whatnot. And he did do great over at Kentucky, but he just got too overhyped. But now that hype's kind of simmering, that's the point. His hype was up here, but now the hype started to simmer down around here. So I think this is the year where he brings that hype back up to here with a good season.
Yeah, it was like all the way up here, then it goes way down here, and then it goes back up to the level that it should have been at the whole time, because he was never supposed to be one of the top prospects in the 2023 draft. That just wasn't supposed to happen. And I think the media kind of hyped him up to be one of those high level prospects, and the rest of the league disagreed. Everyone passed on him, and the Titans liked him. They just liked him as their day two pick, not day one. They went Peter Skoronski. So I do like Will Levis, and I think he has some upside there. I don't know how good he will be, but I think he could at least be a decent starting quarterback in this league, and he'll have some fantasy value if he knows how to use Tyler Boyd, Calvin Ridley, DeAndre Hopkins, Chigozie Okonkwo. You have Tony Pollard, who you can still throw to, by the way. The best offensive line the Titans have had in a couple of years. So I expect them to go a little more pass heavy, and I think they'll be a little – if they end up being able to play, at least Will Levis, in any sort of way, shape, or form, I think they'll have a higher ceiling with this Titans team than the other one did, where they were solely centered around the running game. No disrespect to Derrick Henry, but we're just at a point in our league's history where run-first offenses don't win you Super Bowls. If you center your team around the star running back, usually they don't work out and they get hurt. They'll get you to the playoffs, maybe. But are you winning a Super Bowl with your quarterback being Ryan Tannehill, but they're saying, oh, but Derrick Henry's going to take him there? No. It doesn't happen. So if this kid Will Levis can play, it could be one of the better teams in the AFC.
And that kind of goes back to when we were talking about the AFC South. It's like, obviously you got your top teams in, excuse me, you got your top teams in the AFC South in the Texans and the Jaguars, but the Colts and the Titans are going to make some good runs at it too. It's the AFC South is going to be a lot closer than it was last year, a lot closer than what most people are going to think. And the Titans are going to be right up there for a potential division title.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm right there with you. I mean, we created a reel about it a few months ago where we basically, I mean, there's too much on the Titans right now saying that they're going to be bad, but there's not enough on it about the amount that they've done this offseason, the players on both the offensive and defensive sides that they've brought in. I mean, their secondary is loaded right now. And their offensive line is almost completely rebuilt. They have a ton of targets to throw to. Good young quarterback. Good young offensive-minded coach. Brian Callahan did some great things over there in Cincinnati. So I think there's a lot of potential there. I'm not saying that they're going to be good. But I'm just saying don't rule them out to be a pretty decent team. It all depends on how Will Levis can play. And if he can play in any sort of capacity, then I see them being at least in contention for a playoff spot. If Will Levis is even average, I think they'll be 9-8, 10-7.
I like it. Do you have any other quarterbacks you want to throw out there? Because I think the two that I threw out were good. I think the two that you threw out were pretty solid.
Will Levis was a good pick. I wasn't even thinking about him, but that just shows how underrated the kid is. I have a couple other names in mind since we're kind of sitting here. Jaden Daniels, I think, is one. The offensive line is 4/5 of it is rebuilt, but they're missing the left tackle. And from reports in camp and from seeing him in preseason, the kid is way ahead of schedule. We already knew he was going to be the closest we have to big league ready among the quarterbacks.
He looked very good in that preseason game against the Jets.
Yeah.
Extremely good.
Another one I have is Anthony Richardson.
I was thinking about him as well, but I think the way that he played in those first few weeks of the season before getting hurt. I mean, at that point you could consider him a sleeper because not many people are thinking about those first few weeks, and the hype around Anthony Richardson kind of died down right after he got hurt.
The offensive line for the Colts has played out of their minds, much better than they were supposed to play. You have Alec Pierce, who had a very good season despite playing with a backup quarterback most of the season. Granted, it was probably one of the best in backups in the league. You still have Michael Pittman, who you managed to bring back on an extension. And on top of that, you just brought in A.D. Mitchell. So, and then you add on top of that, Anthony Richardson is now playing in his second year with big league coaching. So I think he'll be further developed than he was at this point last year, and he'll be a little more ready. Also, he has that rushing ability in fantasy leagues is very, very underrated when it comes to quarterbacks. Obviously, rushing yards count for a lot more than passing yards. So if you rack up those rushing yards, the rushing touchdowns, the passing touchdowns, this kid's going to be pretty good.
And you know that he's going to play a little less reckless when he's actually running the ball than compared to last year as well.
Yeah.
Not trying to take those big hits.
Yeah. And I know I'm not sure if you had any other sleepers. And I know we're close to the end of the show, but I did want to bring up one developing story that's been cooking.
Are you talking about Nathan Peterman getting signed?
Yeah, that's what we're all thinking about. So Brandon Ayuk, there's been some more rumblings in the past few minutes. According to Ian Rappaport, the Steelers and 49ers have a deal on a potential trade, and Pittsburgh is in a good place on an Ayuk contract, sources say. If San Francisco gives the final sign-off, it's done. On top of that, San Francisco has an offer out to Ayuk for a long-term deal to stay Obviously, Ayuk and from previous reports, Ayuk and the 49ers reopened contract negotiations. So that's still on the table for him to return. But the framework and all of the compensation for a deal between the Steelers and 49ers is all agreed upon. If the 49ers sign off, Ayuk is a Steeler.
It also depends on if Ayuk actually wants to go, though, because, I mean, look, like, Browns and the Patriots had stuff out there that the 49ers agreed upon, and Ayuk didn't want to go there.
Yeah. So, like, well, I don't know where. Listen, this is going to be an unpopular opinion, but I think the Patriots are a little further along in their rebuild than the Steelers are. The Steelers have a good roster around them, but their quarterback position is such a cluster that we can't even say that they're further along because you don't have the most important piece. Just drafting a quarterback in the first round does not work. They did that with Pickett. It did not work out. So bringing in a failed first-round pick in Justin Fields and an aging quarterback in Russell Wilson, who clearly doesn't look like his old self, that doesn't do it either. So why are we at the point where we believe that the Patriots are closer? They have their quarterback. They just need him to develop and give them a couple more pieces. I'm not saying they're close to contention, but they're further along in their rebuild. I think the Steelers are dinking around with things that they just don't need to do. They're playing around with the quarterback position as if it's not a big deal, as if it's a positional battle like the starting tackle or the starting running back position. Who's going to make the roster? No. This is the biggest part of your team, and it doesn't seem like they're taking it seriously enough.
No. Yeah, the Steelers, I mean, they'll find a way to get to 500 again somehow, some way, but that's the thing that's holding them back and in making a complete rebuild is that they keep finishing at 500 so they don't end up getting themselves to that top 10 pick. And they did a pretty poor job of trying to develop Kenny Pickett, but I mean, Kenny Pickett probably shouldn't have been that first round pick that the Steelers go after way back when. And you hit it pretty much on nail on the head. Justin Fields is a field project. Russell Wilson's on the back end of his career. Ended Seattle very poorly. Did not have a good tenure over in Denver. And you're expecting him to now revive his career in Pittsburgh, but even the weapons over in Pittsburgh aren't even that great. Like you just lost Deontay Johnson, who's a diva in his own right. George Pickens, who wants the ball. He's basically another Antonio Brown as well. He's got all the talent in the world, just doesn't have the best attitude. Pat Freiermuth is a pretty solid tight end. But other than that, what else do you have?
They needed another wide receiver to pair up with George Pickens. I like what I've seen from Pickens from a talent standpoint. Attitude speaks for itself, but it's a different issue. But they needed another wide receiver, and I thought they were going to get that in Brian Thomas, but they didn't end up drafting him. It just feels like they're stuck in football purgatory. They lost Ben Roethlisberger, who even when he was there and healthy, he wasn't anything special. I mean, he won two championships, but that was earlier on in his career, and the rest of the team around him was a lot better. They're kind of stuck they're stuck in football purgatory is where they are, and they haven't really taken. There's nothing worse for a team than to just take a quarterback simply because it's a need. Obviously, it's the biggest need on the team, but I'd rather go on a different position rather than just take a quarterback. Kenny Pickett's there. He's the best quarterback in this draft. The worst quarterback draft in over a decade. That's not the way to go. And if they didn't take a quarterback, maybe they could have tanked, and then the next year they would have ended up with CJ Stroud. You see what I mean? Like you take a step back before you take two steps forward. And they're kind of stuck in football purgatory. And by trading for Brandon Ayuk, great. But why is Brandon Ayuk trying to make the argument that they're in a better spot than the Patriots are? Because I just don't think they are.
No. I would consider the Pitt, if you're going to say the Steelers are in football purgatory, I would consider them the NFL equivalent to the Chicago Bulls. They're always finishing it. The Bulls are always finishing in a play-in spot in the NBA playoffs and always teasing their fans that they're going to make this weird magical run, but they never have the talent to actually make a run. And so they lose in the play-in, and then they're stuck with the 15th or the 16th overall pick in the NBA draft. No lottery picks, no nothing. And they get stuck doing the same thing over and over and over again. And it's the same thing with the Steelers. They
Bulls after Jordan. Yeah.
Yep. They always, I would say Bulls in the last 5 years, probably.
Patriots are the Bulls after Jordan too.
Yeah.
But at least
Patriots are the Bulls right after Jordan. But it, like the Mike Tomlin Steelers are the same exact way from the last few years as well. I mean, granted, like the last, like right before or right after like that COVID season, they had Ben Roethlisberger and they started 11-0 and snuck their way into the playoffs after losing five straight and then lost in the wild card to the Browns. After that, it's been the same thing over and over again, just barely squeaking by into the playoffs or just barely missing the playoffs at 500 and not doing anything with it.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, that's all I have on that. I've been trying to extend the show to see if this deal would end up getting done, but it looks like this is going to be a standoff all day. But I wouldn't be surprised if Brandon Ayuk is a Steeler by the end of today.
That'd really suck. That would really suck.
Yeah, and we can't even cover it, not for a whole week.
Never mind not covering it. Just as a Pats fan, that would just be so silly for him to go to the Steelers where he could be the number one guy at the Patriots and get the ball thrown to him from Drake May or Joe Milton, depending on how you listen to over at Boston Sports Talk Radio. But that'll do it for us today. Thank you for joining us as we have new episodes that are going to be out Tuesdays at 7:30. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We also have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and so much more. And we'll go back to the Friday preview episodes once we get to week one. So do the math. Pretty much that first week of September, be on the lookout for our first preview show in terms of the week one matchups. As also be sure to follow our Instagram, FumbleRooski_podcast, and our TikTok, FumbleRooskiPod, to keep up with our podcast and the latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, for Chris Kostich, Adam Wright, we will see you next Tuesday. Over and out.